Message number 14 on the First Epistle of John. Beloved radio friends, we greet you in the precious name of our beloved Savior, the Lord Jesus. We value the Lord Jesus and appreciate being able to represent Him, even though we feel our infirmity and weakness. Nevertheless, what a joy to read His precious word, and by His grace through the Spirit of God, meditate upon the eternal and the divine truths that are in the Word of God. We continue our study in the Epistle of John, the First Epistle, Chapter 2. We are particularly considering at the present time the family of God in their divisions. Those divisions we have mentioned, they are called, according to 1 John chapter 2 and verse 13, they are called in three classifications, fathers, young men, and children. We are looking at the little children at the present time, and in verses 18 and 19, we have noticed John's words of address to the young infants in the family. You may have noted it, I may have spoken of it, but it bears repetition. Do note carefully, John has much more to state and to reveal and to admonish the little children about, more than the young men and the fathers. In verse 18 and 19, we have noted that he speaks of Antichrist. Their great danger was to be seduced or led astray from the truth of God by false teachers. The 26th verse of this chapter declares specifically John's purpose in writing so much to the little children, the young that were in the faith. He declares in that 26th verse, "These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you," literally meaning who would lead you astray. He calls them the Antichrists, not the Antichrist. He says there will be the Antichrist, that coming wicked one in a future day, but there are yet now many Antichrists. The word means they are against Christ. And we realize what dangers we are living in. Unfortunately, the sad commentary of these antichrists of whom John writes, they had been among the professing people of God, bearing the name of the Lord Jesus, professing to believe His truth, and yet they went away. And going away from the Christian testimony, they were manifested by so doing, they did not genuinely belong to the family of God. But John does make very clear the sources of safety for the little children. Verse 20 we noted particularly, he declared that they had the Holy Spirit. You have an anointing, the word unction is there in your authorized version. You have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. 'Tis not that they knew everything in the sense that we may feel is the meaning of the expression. What John is stating, with the person of the Holy Spirit being possessed, they were in the blessed privilege of being able to be taught by that Spirit all the things of God. And so he writes to them, warning them, but also encouraging them and counseling them as to one phase of their safety, the presence of the person of the Holy Spirit. My fellow believer, may I encourage you about this truth? The Holy Spirit is possessed by God's dear children, every one of them. Remember that He will teach you. Remember that He is the revealer of the truth of God, and He will guide you. The Lord Jesus said it in John 16 when He would come. He shall guide you into all truth. Depend upon the Holy Spirit. May I suggest depend upon the Holy Spirit rather than depend upon the preacher? For you must test the preaching of the preacher by the word of God with the help of the Holy Spirit. And so John thus writes. He also reminds them, which we would indeed like to emphasize, that those who were antichrist, they would deny the true Christ. They would not only do that as we have in verse 22. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. May I point out to you what I believe the apostle is greatly emphasizing here? He is speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ in a twofold way. He is speaking about him as the Messiah. Jesus is the Christ, the anointed Messiah. And he's also speaking about him as the Son of the Father. If you recall the Gospel of John, his great purpose in writing it, he declares in chapter 20, verses 30 and 31, when he thus pens the words, "These things write I unto you, that ye may know that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name." When you look at Christianity, when you consider what Christianity is, the centrality of Christianity is Christ, but not only Christ, the Father also. May I link this thought with what we have already learned, I hope, from the first chapter of this epistle, when John declared to the children, the family to whom he writes, both you and me, as well as those who lived in that day. He said in chapter 1 and verse 3, "That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ." So that we may certainly realize in chapter 2, as he writes concerning those who deny the Christ, and who deny the Father, and who deny the Son, he is giving guidance to the children of God to beware of those who thus in their teaching, antichrist, against Christ, are denying the cardinal, central truths of Christianity in the person of God the Father and in the person of God the Son. Oh, may I emphasize a fact that is very precious to my heart, and that is, may I never depreciate the person of God the Father, nor the person of God the Son. My beloved, will you not value this relationship of the Father and the Son, the eternal Father and his eternal Son, and recognize this is the crux of Christianity. Take the Father away. Take the Son away. You don't have Christianity in the true meaning of it. And one may well recognize the exhortation of John that the very persons of God the Father and the Son should be greatly appreciated, and they should be greatly protected and be the center of the heart affection of God's dear children, even though they may be babes in Christ. There is no question of doubt that any false teaching of any kind will somewhere along the line depreciate the person of God the Father and the person of God the Son. My fellow believer, may you and I hold in high estimation, as well as in confession, what we believe the persons of God the Father and the Son are. Our fellowship is with them, with God the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. And John plainly states, anyone that denies it, they are antichrist. They deny the Son, and if they deny the Son, by the same means, they are denying the Father, and they do not possess him. May I pause to reflect for a moment the preciousness that you and I should value when we can say we know the Father. May I quote the words of Jesus found in John 17, verse 3? When praying to the Father, he said, "This is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent." My beloved, my radio friend, do you know God? Do you know the Son of God? Do you know God as your Father? Do you know the Son as your Savior? May I link together the Father and the Son with these words in John 14 and verse 6? When Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." You cannot know Christ without knowing the Father.
You cannot come to Christ without also coming to the Father. Christ brings you, when you come to Him, to the Father. And we state emphatically, He is the way, and He is the exclusive way to the Father's heart. So may we indeed rejoice that we have the Father when we have the Son when saved. Well, may John, as we close with verse 24 for the present, go on to say, let that therefore abide in you which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. May I point out the last phrase, emphasizing it to our hearts and to our consciences. Christianity is knowing the Father and the Son. But the growth in Christianity, as the apostle seeks to bring it before the little children, is to continue in the Son and in the Father. My beloved, if your desire and mine is to know more of Christ, we shall also know more of the Father. You cannot know more of Christ, my fellow Christian, without also knowing more of His blessed Father, and of the one whom you and I can also say, our Father, who art in heaven. May the Lord indeed encourage all His children to thus go on, not only for Christ, but with Christ, and with the Father, in happy communion and fellowship. Father, we pray Thy blessing upon Thy precious and holy word, to the glory of Thy name, the blessing of Thy people, and even to the stirring and conviction of some precious soul who needs the Savior today. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.